I was watching a film this week, yesterday in fact, and I think it was called The Airbender, and it was Eastern, based on Eastern thinking, you know, and a fire, the wind and the earth, and you get a lot of this stuff around these days. And I watch it, I kind of enjoy it, but I think to myself, I see they have these kind of, it's all this sort of Eastern stuff. I think, do you know, Jesus is above all those principalities and powers. I watch the film and I enjoy it, but I'm watching it and I think that force there, that, do you know, that submits to Jesus, that whatever I don't mind watching it because I don't sort of go along with it in that sense, but in their thinking, I think, well, that's powerful, but Jesus is head of it all. That's how I watch these films. I always just watch them and think, but Jesus is head of all that. And what he would say to that, stop, and it would stop. And that spirit, stop, and that would stop. Do you see what I mean? So I watch them, but I... Anyway, let me just pass this little plant around. This is my... These are two of my little babies. So can you, if I pass them round, can you be very careful you don't drop my babies on the floor? Yeah? I put these seeds in on the 26th of March. And I put about, I don't know, 6 or 8 seeds in the pot. 2 have come up. And I want you to have a little look at those seeds. So I'm going to hand it to you and then you can have a little look. They're chili peppers. Someone gave me... an unwanted gift, and I thought, oh, I'm going to plant. It wasn't wanted to me, but it was for them, and they thought, oh, I'll hand that on. So I, pardon? I don't know. I think I'm growing them with Brittany in mind, so you can take it off Brittany if you want. those are my, because they're chili peppers, and I'm going to see if I can get them to grow, but have a good look at them and see what you think. But anyway, that's just it might have some relevance in a minute. Last week we had IBTI and we had a testimony about a broken relationship between a father and a son, and that broken relationship affected the son's ability to get a closer walk with Father God. I don't know if you remember that testimony, but it was quite hard to understand because he didn't speak that, you know, a lot of English. But that's what I got from that testimony. But when that relationship was more restored, the relationship with God became better. And the preacher, as we've already heard, spoke about facing or confronting those things that may get in the way of our walk with God. So... you know, it was a time to confront the issue, yeah, or the problem. And as I thought about this, so I'm just going to sort of take it on a little bit, possibly, but it might be a bit different. Experiences, happenings from the past affect us now, don't they? Things that have happened, they kind of form us and mold us. The things that have happened, the way we are treated, the way we, something happened back there, it might affect us. Have we got it back? Has everyone had a look at my little babies? Yeah. Did anyone notice anything about them? Why do you think it, can you see what's wrong with it? So I'll tell you, Alex, I can point that out. What are you going to say? Does anyone see what it is that's causing that? Well, anyway. One is... No, too much water. Now that get damping off. No, I'm a believer in slight neglect. No, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. They both come out. One's... The seed case hasn't fallen off one and it's restricting it. The other one, the seed case has fallen off and it's opened up. One's all twisted. I've got another one at home that's the same. It's the seed case that it was come out of. It hasn't dropped the seed case off. Now, I could try and... I probably at some point, if it doesn't develop, I'll have attempt to get the seed case off, but I might damage the plant. Oh, yeah, pass it around again and see the seed case. I had another one where the seed case was stuck on the end too, and it was stopping them unfurling like that. So it was, it had trapped the two leaves together. That, so things from the past, they affect us now. They affect the now. The way we would, the way we treated others can affect us. How we treated others. Do you know, I think of some of the things I have said, and I was talking about nicknames and nicknames we call each other. Not being nasty, just you use a friend's name. And then you look now and you think, oh man, that's just horrible. But at the time as kids, you just think, oh, it's just, that's what his nickname is. How we treat others, how people have treated us, things said, things done. We all have things that have affected us. We may now say, I am what I am, or that's how it is. Yeah? This is, or this life I've got are the cards that were dealt to me. Yeah? You might use kind of phrases like that. You may even go, it's what I deserve. Yeah? It's what I deserve. Have you ever gone there? I don't know. I'm going to look at something here. Not now then. Karma. Karma. Do you ever use that word, karma? Right? Some of you might, some of you might not. But let me have a look at it. Karma. Again, it comes from Eastern religions. I'm not preaching karma, by the way, just in case you go out and say Dave was preaching karma. I am telling you a little bit about it and how perhaps we think like it. But I'm going to... karma. So this is a bit about karma. What happens to a person happens because they caused it with their actions. Now, what I'm going to say about all this, there's a sort of... a kind of truth in it. Often the deception is very near the truth. So when you listen to some of it, you think, oh yeah, kind of makes sort of sense. See, that's why people believe these things. What happens to a person happens because they caused it with their actions. It is an important part of Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhism and Jainism. All living creatures are responsible for their karma, their actions and the effects of their actions. See? We might say you reap what you sow. Yeah? We have Christian versions of the same sort of thinking. See? You reap what you sow. Stuff like that. Who lives by the sword dies by the sword. They're biblical statements. So, fair enough. There's similarities. So, cause and effect. Karma is a kind of universal... I shouldn't say... what they believe karma is a universal, like, energy, a force, like gravity. See, like gravity, if you jump and you come down, don't you? Karma is this kind of force. See, that's what they say. Not, I'm not preaching it, by the way. I'm just talking about it. So what they would say is, our actions, both good and bad, come back to us in the future, helping us to learn from life's lessons. So there's a kind of sense to it all, isn't there? And there's a kind of way it kind of works. And you can see how it's an appeal. You know, it appeals to people. In religions that include reincarnation, do you know what reincarnation is? So that's when you live this life and then you're reborn again. When you die, you come back as either another person or possibly an animal or something else, see? It kind of also makes their sense then, because if you lived a bad life now, or things happen, but you try to do good, you're going to be born better next time. Or if you live a good life now, you'll be born good then. You're kind of going to... oh, Christianity has heaven, doesn't it? So we kind of have a similarity. So you have this reincarnation. This is what they believe. So our actions, both good and bad, come back to us in the future, helping us to learn from its life's lessons. In religions that include reincarnation, karma extends through one's present life and all past and future lives. See, so your past life affects this life, that affects the next life. So it's an ongoing cycle. Are we all understanding? So this is karma. Part of this, you know, yin and yang, that symbol, it all ties together, see, because that's a symbol of both good and bad in balance. So it's a kind of thing like that, isn't it? It's in balance, and that's an energy, that's the sort of energy force that it will always equal out. So equal, good and bad is equaling. So it all ties in with karma. So there's this force that does good and bad, and is a balance that's going on. An equal balance. Yeah, an equal balance. Whilst not a religion as such, karma does have religious teachings. The Buddhist teaches that the law of karma stipulates for every event that occurs, there will follow another event whose existence was caused by the first. And this second event will be pleasant or unpleasant according to its cause. So something I do now affects what happens. Now, yeah, this is what they believe. Kind of makes a kind of sense, if you believe it all. But remember, it's not a person, this karma. It's a force. It's an energy. It's a, you know, like gravity or like the sun, you know, it gives us warmth or whatever. It's just a thing, not a person. Like a law of physics, that's how it's seen. But in the Bible we also see God's judgment on situations and people. We see the flood. God brought judgment. Because what I'm kind of trying to get as a balance through this. We see Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the ground opening up and Korah being swallowed up. We see in the Old Testament blessings and curses for obedience to God. So we do see all these things. God does bring judgment, but not all bad things. So does that make sense? God can bring a judgment, but not, we don't blame all bad stuff on God, if that makes sense. So you have to be careful what we say is from God and what isn't. See, because that little plant, one of them is just caught by its little seed and it's stuck. And the other one's popped open and it's all fine. And the same can be for life, see. So God does bring judgment on certain situations, but not everything bad or what we would call bad is from God. See, so we'd say good comes from God, yeah, but bad, what it depends what I mean by bad. If it's judgment, you know, is judgment bad? You see what I'm saying? But we might see it as a bad thing. Depends what your viewpoint. God is much more interested in restoring people, in making good, bringing healing, repentance and forgiveness. That judgment is like the last resort. God wants to restore. God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring forgiveness and repentance. That's what he's all about. He's a person that wants to bring good. He's not there out to sort of whack you with a stick all the time. That's the judgment is the last resort. And as with, you know, we see the seed, and we read up there, be careful how you judge others. Be careful how you judge others. Take the plank out your own eye before you judge. And the disciples came to Jesus And they were, you know, there were situations, and they said, isn't it awful about this, and isn't it awful? And Jesus in Luke 13 says, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So in a sense, we are all, and you know, under God's judgment. But because those people had this accident happen to them, a wall fell on them, people would have said, well, that was God, got his judgment on them, didn't he? They must have done something evil in quite, you know, that's how people saw it. Well, God found them out, didn't he? And that wall fell on them, and they must have done some bad stuff. That's the way people saw it. Something bad happened, that was God's judgment. So everything that happened like that, any accident, that's God's judgment. They must have been up to some bad stuff hidden away. That bad thing happens, must have been up to some wrong there. He finds this man who's blind, and the disciples say, who's at fault for him being blind? See, that's the natural judgment that people have. Who's at fault? This guy or his parents that he's born blind? Do you see what they're saying? It's a bit like karma. Whose fault is it? There's a fault there. He's blind for a reason. Do you know, sometimes we say, oh, there's always a reason for it. You see? And we've got to think of what we say and what we think. And so here they were judging, why is he blind? There's a reason that he's blind. There's a reason for it. And he says, it's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. That's why he's blind. I'll skip through it. And so that's what that's about. It says, neither this man nor his parents. When it says sinned, it means like nothing out of the ordinary. They're not like done something really bad, because we're all sinners. This is saying that they had done, you know, nothing worse than anyone else. Nothing to make him blind. He was born blind. Like that seed's come up. Two seeds have come up. One's come up sort of all caught up. One's come up fine. Now, is there a reason that one's all caught up? Is it a naughty plant or a bad plant or an evil plant? See, and what Jesus is saying, we like to blame something. We like to say, it's because of that. It's because that. Or his parents must have sinned, and that's why they've got a troubled child. We want to have a blame. We want to sort of say, it's because of that. Jesus says it's not to do with that. He could have said stuff happens. Yeah? But what he's going to say is it's for the glory of God. Because what he goes on to do, he heals that man and he points that man in the direction of the Messiah, that's himself. He brings light to his eyes and light to his soul. He brings full healing to that guy. And that's what some of our purpose is. And this week, there's just brokenness all around, isn't there? There's sin in the world, there's brokenness, there's hurt, there's damage. We get caught up in it. I was cycling to Brighton. I stopped, and at the side of the road, I saw all these little orchids growing there. And I thought, wow, look at that. It's just a whole bunch of orchids, wild orchids. And not the kind you buy in a shop, but the kind you probably wouldn't hardly notice, little orchids. And as I looked at them all, one of the plants was all like, it was quite big, but it was all like, its leaves were all tied up like this, but it had a big flower spike sticking out the top. And what had happened, as the plant had grown, it had grown through an old leaf, and the old leaf had stopped it opening up, because it had, the veins of the leaf were like a rope around it. And so this poor plant is kind of all like this, with its flower sticking out. It was still growing because it would have enough light, but it was it was all deformed and crunched up. So I went along and I broke the leaf bit, let it go, So if I cycle past there, I could go and see how my orchid is doing. And the same with that. It's just grown up, and the seed, it's a neutral thing. That's its own seed. The plant in the orchid, it was just an old leaf. I'd tied it up. There was no evil intent on the leaf. The old leaf didn't say, I'm going to ruin you. I'm going to wrap you up. It just happened to be there, and the orchid had grown up through it and got restricted. But, you know, stuff happens. Just random stuff happens. And it doesn't have to be a judgment from God. It doesn't even have to be from anywhere, because stuff happens. We are in a broken world. It hasn't been restored. It's not fixed yet. But stuff happens. We get caught in it. And that was that plant. And I got there and I kind of set it free. Let the orchid open up. So I cut the restriction, allow the leaves to open. They'll open slowly. They won't open like... Because they're like that. So those leaves are going to have to now just slowly, with light and time, it might take a week, might take a day, I don't know. They'll just open up and they'll become normal. But it'll take a little bit of time, because it's grown, it's been restricted for however long it's been there. That orchid now can fully function. It would have functioned, it would have flowered, it was almost flowering, but now it can operate fully. And sometimes we can be functioning like this. We're functioning, but we're like that. We're restricted. What can be that? It can be wrong thinking or bad experiences. Just those things can just be like that for us, just slightly wrong thinking. These can restrict us. Don't stop us from believing, but they can just restrict us. Wrong thinking, bad experiences. Jesus came to set the captives free. We've sung quite a few songs like that today. So I've got a few. I had some of my own, but we've picked a whole load that sort of talk about being all that kind of thing. So what I'd like to do for a few minutes. How am I doing? I'm not doing too bad, actually. If we break into, we could get into three or four, maybe four groups. I'm going to chuck a few questions out there in your little small groups to talk about. So could we mess the chairs up, get into a few little groups? We'll finish on these little discussion bits now, because I think we might do this for the next, I'd like to try and do this a bit more. And I'm going to chuck a few questions out there for you to just talk about. I'm going to draw it all to a close now. Thank you for joining in. I noticed on a few of the songs it said that Jesus came to set us free and save us and various phrases like that. And I had thought, I can't help it, I go back a long way. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. That's 0 for 1,000. That's a song. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. Sometimes we let that cancelled sin have a grip on us, don't we? You know, it's cancelled out, but we let it still roam around and dictate to our heads. But it says he breaks the power of cancelled sin. And then another song, which is a bit more modern, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. So I had a whole load of scriptures that we could have looked at. If you want one to look up, I don't know if Kevin could find it very quickly. 1 Peter 5:7. I had a whole pile that we could have rummaged through, but I'll stick one up to finish with. Cast all your anxiety on him. He cares for you. Yeah? Cast your burdens upon. Yeah, that's it. So give it to him. Give it to him. Those things that stress you, those things that burden you, give them to him. Yeah? Because he is an intervening God. It's not a force that, well, it happens. It just happens. We have a God who takes interest in us. We have a God who cares about us. We have a God who loves us. He wants to help us. It's not just a random force that, well, good stuff will happen to me and then bad. You know, God wants to help you. So give it to him. Talk to him. And I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you that you are not just some abstract energy, but you are a caring, loving, faithful God who has done everything for us to be saved, everything for us to have life and life to the full, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, that you gave yourself completely. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you work in our lives to direct us, to give us life, Lord. And we just pray that you would help us in our walk, in our living, in our working with each other and serving with each other. Lord, we ask that you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.